Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
And welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM. Hey, this is our weekly programming coming arts events in Valparaiso and throughout Northwest Indiana. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Hey, our theme music that you just heard is Billy Foster with a vocal by Renee Foster, and we'll talk a little bit more about them later.
Ooh,
in the
yes,
upcoming Jazz Fest that we're having along with Esther here.
Great. So exciting.
You know, our underwriter for the show, our Valparaiso University Brower Museum. And we'd like to thank again for upping and renewing is Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. He once again invested
so many
in the show.
Thank yous.
Thank you for keeping us on the air. And if you want to contact Walt about leasing space in this historic technical building that's been around in Valparaiso for a while, call Walt at 219-462-5821. 219-462-5821. We'd like to thank them both for their generous support. We always like to give a shout out to Greg Kovach, WVLP station manager, getting us on
there
the air.
There he is. Yay, Greg.
Art in the Air, supported by the Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant and also South Shore Arts through the National Endowment for the Arts. Hey, if you're interested in being a guest, send us information about your arts-related events appearing on here. Is whatever you want to do or get in touch with us, you can do that at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. That's artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. Hey, our programs are streaming live always on WVLP.org, so if you can't hear us on 103.1 FM, you can hear us there.
Multiple.
And Art in the Air is rebroadcast Mondays at 5 p.m., and you can listen to all of our shows for the past year at the archive at breck.com/AOTA. That's breck, BRECH.com/AOTA. You also find our detailed arts events calendar there, so if you miss something on the show, we have a lot more details there, like hyperlinks to everything and phone numbers.
Bigger explanations.
Yes.
Of what's going on.
Exactly. More details. By the way, our shows are now being carried by Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, every Sunday at 7 p.m. And then we've been a long time with WIUN Red Hawk Radio at IUN Northwest, their closed circuit radio station. By the way, if you're interested in supporting our station, just like Walt has and Brower Museum, and we'd love to have your support, you know, we are a community station. Basically part of the public broadcasting model. So we don't have commercials per se. We have underwriters who come in there. So we'd really appreciate your underwriting support, whatever level you can. It's ever so easy to do. You go to wvlp.org/support. And especially if you want to support this show, Art in the Air, Esther and I would really appreciate it.
Really love that.
Yes. So whatever you do, do that. Because, you know, we don't want you to just be a listener, though we appreciate your listenership and everything. But we'd really like you to become a supporter to keep us going all the time. We're doing some major station upgrades, not just for us, for the entire station coming soon, upgrading equipment, soon maybe taking phone calls and things like that. So we'll be real excited. So like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. And you'll feel so good about supporting this station in whatever level you can. Well, I'm going to start now with Porter County. We have a lot of things going on there. Again, at the Brower Museum, we continue with the Betty LaDuke exhibit that's going on, the Sue Kwok Cosmic Light Series, and Mark Fletcher, the Winking Turtle exhibit, and that's continuing on. He just had his talk this past week, November 6th. If you missed that, that's too bad. Hey, one of our guests we've had on our show is Jeffrey Baumgartner, does oil painting. It's going to be at the Village Gallery in Valparaiso, and you can see that. He's having it's going to be there all the way through January 9th, but you'll have an opening talk on November 17th at 1:30 at the Village Pines. You can find out information there. Chesterton Arts Center's got a lot of things going on, but the Iliana Artists, I don't know, I said something that made Esther really funny there. Iliana Artists, the Gift of Art member exhibit, which opened on November 3rd. They're running through November 29th. Lots of great art there. I do have seven pieces in that show, so you might want to go see that. Also, we have Mark Vandervine does his critique night, stained glass, and they have a whole whole wide range of classes. Hey, I just got a phone call right before the show. Art Barn is going to have a holiday gift gallery opening November 23rd, running through January 4th. And so we got that just on the air. But they also, on November 9th, has the Portage Lakefront Riverwalk, where they're going to go out there and have an instructor take you for an on-site free painting lesson so you can paint a beautiful landscape right there. You know, information's online. Artsy Fine Arts, got a lot of things going on there. But the most current thing is coming up November 15th is a beginning wire wrap class, and then November 20th, acrylic pour class. And they also have a lot of children's things to do on the weekends and after school hours. Depot Museum and Art Gallery, well, now they're moving to, like a lot of them, to their holiday show and sale. It's for 2 days only, November 23rd, 9 to 4, and November 24th, 10 to 1. So you want to get those gift items. They have gifties there that have all different kinds of things. The Ellen Firm Gallery, they had their art reception for Julie Kanuz's studio friends, art friends, and great exhibit. I stopped by there on the Friday opening, and they'll be coming by for the whole month of November. You can come by and see it. It's a great exhibit. Memorial Opera House, they have a special Veterans Day lunchtime cabaret on November 15th. And, you know, so for all you veterans and family who want to honor your service, you can do that there. Information's online. They'll have photographs there, and a portion of performance will go to a veterans organization. Roots Organic Cafe in Valparaiso continues with 35 photos from Ken Christensen, and that'll be wrapping up in about a week there in November. Dig the Dunes. Well, they're in the process of selecting their calendar for 2020. So they're going to have their release party on December 8th at the Patina Vintage Goods in Michigan City, and that'll be December 8th at 2 to 5. You can find out information on Facebook, and you can find out who are going to be on the 12 months plus the cover of that. Yes, I did submit pictures, so I hope that is, but it's all done in a very secretive process. They don't know who the photographers are. Chicago Street Theater, they're doing the musical Toxic Avenger that opened October 4th and runs through mid-November. You can find information on our website. And finally, Disposal Theater on November 9th. They'll be at Clancy's Public House in Portage. They'll be doing a show from 8 to 9. We had them on the show recently, and a great opportunity. They also have the Nine Bad Asses coming to Valparaiso on November 30th. Again, find out information on our webpage. So that's what we got going on in Porter County. Esther, what do we got going on in LaPorte County?
Well, there are a few things. So Thaddeus C. Gallery, they're located in downtown LaPorte. They're a great gallery, so please check them out. Lubesnik Center for the Arts, Living Architecture is their new exhibit. It from running through January 4th in all three galleries. In the NIPSCO Art Education Studios, there are two exhibits going on. One is Perceived Realities, and that celebrates the artwork of area artist Dorothy Graydon. And then As We See It runs through January 4th as well, and that's the Social and Learning Institute in Paladin. Have their exhibit. I saw that going up. It's really, really good. Rising Phoenix Gallery, the November exhibit is 18 Artists Collective, and their medium is acrylic, oil, watercolor, and sculpture. SFC Gallery, the November exhibiting artist is the fabulous Melissa Washburn. So I can't wait to go see that. I'm going to go take a look at that today. Blink Contemporary Art is exhibiting the work of Suzanne Cohen Lang and Rick Lang. Nest exhibiting artist is Robert Circo, Me, Myself, and Eyes, Recent Paintings and Drawings. Monday, November 11th is Tai Chi Qigong with Christy Putnam. November 16th, we have canceled the Every Kind of Talent Show with Captain Ambivalent. He has a funeral to attend, we'll be back December 21st. It's open mic meets vaudeville meets show and tell, so join us then. Wednesday, November 20th, the Brain Injury Support Group meets at Anamkara. Friday, November 22nd is going to be a fabulous event. Roger Batten with My Path Bibliotherapy. He presents new tales of the holiday season, emerging perspectives. It'll be from 7 to 10 p.m. There's a cash bar. From 7 to 9, there'll be scheduled storytellers. And then after that will be an open mic for stories and poems. Now, Saturday, November 23rd, hopefully, fingers crossed, a concert with Walk Among Us starting at 7 p.m. And Sunday, November 24th, will be the last in the series of the Writing Out Loud series in collaboration with the Michigan City Public Library, and there's a time change of 2 p.m. on that Sunday. November 30th, the first annual Foster Golden Uptown Jazz Nest Fest with Billy and Renee Foster. It's going to be a great lineup of jazz and It's a free admission, refreshments. Should be a good time.
We're free is good.
To. Free is wonderful for the community.
Exactly.
We hope the community really comes out and supports these really talented musicians. It's the start, hopefully, of an
ongoing annual event.
Well, more than once a year. Yeah, definitely that one will be annual, but we also have plans for doing several throughout the year. Drum Circle's first Friday, and that's kind of where I'm going to wrap it up. Writers Group is starting, so if you want to join in before the first meeting, please let us know. Details on the Nest Michigan City's Facebook page.
Excellent. That's LaPorte County. Well, in Lake County, Studio 659, they have a call for art called Arm and a Leg, and it's due on November 11th, so it's coming up. Their current exhibit just about ready to come down, Bump in the Night, their Halloween-themed exhibit. So if you're interested in getting involved in Arm and a Leg, details are on their website for November 11th, and so you can see that Halloween-themed show runs through November 16th. That's Studio 659. South Shore Arts, well, they... annual salon show, it closes this weekend. So if you haven't been in to see it, get in there. It goes out after November 10th, so you have one more weekend to see it. Atrium Gallery continues with Pathway to the Beach through November 24th. Marianne Trisma, Crown Point Branch, Something in the Air, Work from the Artists in Residence. They'll be running all the way through December 7th, and so get there. Substation number 9, Julia Guerrera's Gallery of the Voice. That'll be running through the end of November. Toll Theater, Judy Crawford, four-year consideration. They'll be in the lobby, and Cafe Fresco has Jolie Lax Salinas, Photos of the Region, and that will be wrapping up on November 23rd. Miller Beach Arts and Creative District, Anatomy of the Artist, a group exhibit that's continuing on through November, so you get a chance to see that. Also, sad news on that area is the closing of the Miller Bakery and Cafe. Due to all the construction, they're pulling up stakes at least for a while, but they're closing because of all the construction put them, I won't say out of business, but they no cash flow, so you can't keep in business. So there's a chance, I heard in an interview, that they may come back if the things settle down. So South Lake Artist Cooperative, commonly known as SLAC. They have the Texture at the Sips Coffee House in Crown Point, and then they're going to take in new art for Portrait of an Artist. They'll be going through mid-November and on display at the White Rose Brewery in Crown Point. Tony Paulipka's exhibition is going through the middle of November. Brand-new place exhibiting arts is Harborworks in East Chicago. So it opened in October, going through mid-November. Die Arts Visionaries, otherwise known as Dave, Space, Energy, Time, they'll be at the Wild Rose Brewery in Griffith. So you can see that. They've opened on November 2nd. Theater of the Center. Well, guess what we're going to do today? We're going to skip over that one because we're going to talk about that a little bit later, but they have a lot of things going on there. We do have a link on our site, so you can do that. But because of our guests being here, I think we can.
The live version will be so much better.
So much better. So, Lakeshore Community Concerts, formerly the Munster Community Concert, formerly the Hammond Community Concerts. I was involved with them for many years when I was the Auditorium and Theater Director in Munster. Their upcoming thing is on November 15th, Sons of Serendip. It's a unique billboard charting quartet with a harpist, cellist, pianist, and lead vocalist. So you can find out information for individual tickets. I have information on our webpage. And the Northwest Indiana Symphony. Well, we're getting close to the holiday season, so you may want to get in for the Holiday Pops concerts. And they're running three nights, December 11th, 12th, 13th, and 7:30. And they'll have the symphony chorus there, Crown Point High School Choir, which my old theater buddy and vocal director Bill Woods is directing. We were our partners in crime doing theatrical magic at Munster for many years. And the Plum Grove Streams. So the strings will be all there. And you can find out information on their website and on our page that's at the Living Hope New Church. And today, going right into our thing, we'll be talking to our guests. But we had this on our promotion sheet last year. Phil Potemka here, back from the farm. But if you're interested in getting any of your information in our show, please give us information at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. That's artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. We'll be happy to get your event on our calendar. And you can also find us on our Facebook page, Art on the Air. Just do a search on that. There's only one other Art on the Air program in Savannah, Georgia.
I found it yesterday.
Yes, but you can find us. I'm sure ours will pop up and you'll see that. So now moving on to our guest. It's no stranger to our show and Art on the Air, Phil Potemka, 1992 graduate of Valparaiso University. I remember him when he was a budding young college reporter back in the day when I was working at Theater at the Center from the time I was putting my time
You're
in
very
there.
Very kind and generous to me.
Oh, It was great. I was always happy to show people around the place, give them tours and everything like that. I'm so happy to have you. He's been covering theater stories and feature stories throughout Indiana, Michigan, and Illinois for the South Bend Tribune, a whole bunch of other things, but we're going to let him talk about it. But the big thing we're here today about is the author of now 4 published books, all relating from his personal and professional experience from the farm. And this one is Return from the Farm, and we'll talk about that. Just came out, and he just had a demonstration party, so welcome to the show, Phil.
Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Thank you.
It's a beautiful book. Oh my gosh, I'm looking at it right now.
575 pages.
That is a large book. It's got a place on shelves everywhere, and it just was released just a couple weeks when you mentioned we had that big cooking show and book launch party with the From the Farm theme. It's also named for the weekly column that I do in the Post Tribune and appeared in the Times newspaper also for a good 15 years or so previous before its Tribune tenure. So readers feel like it's an old friend, and so to be able to capture again another chunk of those columns, the years of April 2010 through May of November of 2015, and have them cover to cover in this beautiful hardcover with the photos to go along with the stories is definitely a true gift to myself and hopefully so many others.
It's a great book. You're listening, by the way, to Art in the Air, WVFP 103.1 FM. Hey, this I noticed in the book, it's not just a cookbook. There are recipes in there, and there's a lot of them, but each one is tied to a story and everything like that. That's what makes it kind of unique. Yes. It's not just like, okay, let's fix that.
Yeah, so many people will say, I don't really cook anymore, so to have a cookbook doesn't benefit me, but I still love your books because they are a story. They always have some type of a narrative lead in that gives you the origin of the recipe or anchors it to some kind of local history. So if you're old enough to remember, for example, Howard Johnson's, there is a tribute to how Howard Johnson's began on the East Coast, and we had a few of our own destinations for Howard Johnson's right here in the area. And they were famed for their clam chowder and their fried clams.
Oh, yeah.
That was the big thing on the menu. So it talks about the history of it there, as well as, you just mentioned, a lot of famous faces in there, including the one and only late, great Florence Henderson, also known as Mrs. Brady on the Brady Bunch. She helped write this book, so she did the celebrity forward, as well as a whole chapter that she got to me before she passed away in right around this time, November 2016. So her and her famous friends are included in there as well.
Oh, that's fantastic. How did you hook up with Florence Henderson?
Florence Henderson and I crossed paths a few times, the first time being at Drury Lane, which was a wonderful, it was kind of a counterpart to our theater at the center,
right,
with bringing in headliners in Evergreen Park, so on the south side. And she did a string of Mother's Day concerts there. But she's born and raised on a farm from south of Indianapolis. So she and I knew each other through a mutual friend, Jim Neighbors, who wrote and helped me with the second book,
right,
who I also met through, again, the Drury Lane Theater from interviewing him, and through another mutual friend who was the first original famous friend, the one and only late, great Phyllis Diller, who is friends with all the same. So it's kind of the same overlapping circle. And these were just folks that, again, were kind to a young reporter, much like yourself, and just always stayed in touch. And whenever I might need something, were always kind enough to, again, provide me with an interview or meet with me backstage with my parents so that they could help, promote something that I was doing. So I don't know that you always have that as much nowadays in today's crazy world of have-tos and technology and dollar signs. These are folks that, again, are kind of like neighbors over the fence, even though they have the famous flair to them.
Oh, sure. Well, we have one connection. I remember when you were the young reporter, it was Jonathan Frid.
Yes.
And people who do not remember Jonathan Frid, if you ever watched Dark Shadows and Barnabas Collins, and he was at the center, and you came in to interview him, and it was kind of interesting because I was working with him, and his background effects and music was on an old reel-to-reel deck.
Oh, wow.
And so we had and luckily, I had run a recording studio, so I brought in my reel-to-reel deck to play back. But he was kind of fun. It was fun to work with. He actually did 2 dramatic readings there. It was interesting.
Edgar Allan Poe, right? Was
yes.
What he brought to us, right?
Yes.
And I know that, the funny part, you were so kind to me. Again, I was just young, starting out, and it's a little before my time because I was born in 1970, and I think that Dark Shadows spooky soap opera show was more late 60s, but of course we saw it in reruns, and we had a board game with him in his guise of reluctant vampire Barnabas Collins on the front, and I brought that board game to have it autographed, and I don't know that he was real keen on it. He was very kind and he autographed it, but he kind of, I think, was always tired of being associated. But that's how you promoted him, because
yes,
that's what we knew him from. And I know he was accomplished as a stage actor with his Shakespearean roles, but yeah, he kind of didn't always want to talk about the vampire part of it.
It's kind of like Florence Henderson. Everybody thinks of her
as
on
Mrs.
the Brady,
Brady, right?
But she had a wide range of movies. I remember some really obscure one, Shakes the Clown, and she was so impressive in that.
And Broadway stage things. She did Sound of Music and My Fair Lady.
She actually came in later on Sound of Music to replace, oh gosh, I can't think of her name. But anyway, she was actually the national touring for Sound of Music for years. Yeah. So she did the national tour.
But, you know, she was somebody who embraced all of the Brady Bunch things and never kind of was more of, oh, I don't want to talk about that. The real quick little side note here, because then you'll find this interesting, as maybe your listeners will. One time when I interviewed at the Goodman Theater, Linda Lavin was there, and she was doing a wonderful Arthur Miller play, but not the lead role, because, again, this was, you know, probably the 2000s or so. And we know her from Alice. Remember the waitress?
Oh, yes.
Sure.
Yeah,
that's
what
you think of her. And the publicist said, no, when you're about to interview Linda, don't bring up anything about her TV work or Alice. She does not want to talk about that. She has her Broadway credits. She's done so much more. Do not mention that anywhere in your story. Well, how do you write a profile piece and not include that or talk to her about it?
Because that's what everybody will
relate
to her
the reader's
going to
keep looking through the story and think, well, wait a minute, why didn't he mention the part about Alice? And sometimes you just have to kind of say, hey, I'm so grateful I am where I am because, and trust me, TV a lot of times helps pay the bills so you can do the theater stuff, right?
Exactly. And yeah, television, I know a lot of them kind of turn their back. Well, it's funny about the Barnum Collins care. Oh, yeah, there you are.
With the board game, with that awful board game in this photo.
What he's showing is he dug out a picture of the very, very young Phil next to him signing the board game. So good old.
It did happen. If it's on Facebook, you know it really did happen. Yeah.
Exactly.
So there you go.
You're so sun-kissed in that one.
I know, right?
What's funny about the character Barnum Collins is how originally he was sort of an evil vampire, but then he became the reluctant vampire because I guess originally he was not supposed to be in the series a long time. I think he was he was supposed to be there like for 6 weeks and then gone. And then people loved his character so much. And then they had to say, well, how can we have the central character be someone who's evil? So they sort of made him like he couldn't help that he was a vampire.
If your listeners are listening to this and thinking, I love this because it's pop culture, it's fun, it's little nuances, those are the kind of tidbits that are in that book. No wonder it's almost 600 pages. If you're either of you old enough to remember another counterpart show in the 60s around that same time, Lost in Space with Dr. Smith and the robot. There's a wonderful carrot soup recipe, and for some reason when I thought of, first of all, you don't hear of carrot soup very often. It's a delicious kind of a gluten-free cream base that is kind of creamy, but created with a couple other ingredients to kind of fill that bill. But I thought of that episode with Dr. Smith lands on this planet. Do you remember? And there was a giant alien monster carrot.
Oh, yeah.
And he's attacked by it. And just when you think it can't get any corner, this was towards the latter part of the tenure of that show. He is transformed by a mad scientist into a giant stalk of celery. But I put a great photo in there of this giant monster carrot attacking Dr. Smith, who was always screaming and hollering.
Always.
You know, and that TV cast, much like you said, that show started out kind of serious as kind of a rival to Star Trek, but then embraced more of the Batman, same kind of thing, campiness and over the top.
Even at the time, it was campy.
It's interesting you bring up Star Trek because Gene Roddenberry originally pitched it to CBS. And they, you know, he went through the whole thing laying out because it was such a different thing. He says it's kind of like he called it a wagon train to the stars is how he pitched it. So he did that, thought they did. Anyway, they said, well, after they got back to him, he said, well, we have our own space drama. Lost in space.
Look at that. Yeah, the first year was kind of dark and kind of serious and black and white. And I know those other cast members, like Guy Williams, I think, was the dad.
Right.
And June Lockhart.
June Lockhart,
they said
by
the final season, it was basically, it should have been called The Robot, Dr. Smith, and Will Show. Because all the plot and storylines are along those three. And the rest of the family kind of took a back seat for the storylines. But yeah, that's the kind of things that are fun that you flip through there. There's some nostalgia, there's some pop culture, but an awful lot of great recipes as well.
I saw Svengoolie in there.
Svengoolie, yeah, one of our own.
I missed when he was in town last.
Local claim to fame. Yes. And again, a lot of Phyllis Diller in there and again, people that
you
might remember.
She's fabulous as she seems.
Oh, and just like, kind and warm and giving and somebody that, and she was at our Star Plaza Which I still pinch myself. I cannot believe when I drive past that there is not a Star Plaza.
I know. It's all empty there.
It's just hard
and
to
even
believe.
Twin Towers are gone. I mean, it's just like
yeah. If anybody would have told me that again, I just wouldn't have believed that. But at least it's captured in there for some of the recollections and the memories with that cookbook, which we should remind people that, of course, you can get anything off Amazon. It's on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, or go to the Valparaiso Barnes & Noble old school and just pick up a copy right there as well. So I'm very fortunate that it's very easy to get. It makes a great Christmas gift.
It might be a great thing to have at the Nest.
It would be.
Oh,
yeah,
that would be a great space. It. Yes, because in Michigan City, out that way, there probably wouldn't be as many traditional places just to pick up a copy of it.
Right.
So that's a great
idea.
And
we do actually sell books.
And, you know, then when we do have it, of course, at the Center for Visual and Performing Arts in the South Shore Arts. And so whatever purchase you make there, it makes a little extra money for South Shore Arts, which, again, they do so many wonderful things, and including the Indiana Arts Commission. You mentioned the grant funding that helps make this show possible. And I know I serve on one of those committees, as you do, reviewing them as well. So many good things come out of the community with the help of so many people.
Yeah, it's great what is happening with South Shore Arts.
It's a really interesting book.
Right.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
I mean, it's and this...
Now, and the recipes look very easy to follow.
Yes, also. And that's what is the key to that. That farm column that comes out in the Post Tribune every Sunday, as it did in the Time for all the times all those years, we always say seven ingredients and less, and things that you have on hand in your cupboard or pantry. Nobody wants to buy a pricey spice or an ingredient that you think, I don't know, I'm going to try a new recipe. Am I going to ever use this again?
Am I going to like it?
Yeah, so with this, you're covered. It's a type of things that are recipes your neighbor might provide or those favorites that appear at the church potluck or a family gathering, captured as heirloom recipes that will now live on forever in the pages of this new book.
And now, there are no duplicates in here. This is like all new recipes.
Yes.
from four. So if you get all four editions, I mean, you'll have quite a bit of cookbook.
Right, the first one came out in 2004, and it captured all the columns since the column launched in the newspapers back in 2002, May of 2002. And I always say that was a time when we needed a feature like this. After everything that had happened and transpired on that September the 11th, 2001, we were looking for something that's, again, relaxing, folksy, to take us to a kinder place.
Bring us
back
home. And
that's what these books, they do. And then the next book covered the next chunk of columns for 3 years, and that took us from 2004 through 2007, and that was the one with Jim Nabors. And then the Red Book, which we talked about last time I was here, came out in 2010. So this has been 10 years in the waiting. We were well overdue to capture the next chunk of 5 years of columns for this green, we call it the green cover book now.
The green cover.
The other ones were red, brown, and yellow. So this is the green cover.
So eventually there might be a fifth edition coming out.
I just think that, you know, again, we say, books, you know, I don't know, books, but I still like a book I can have on the nightstand, or I can look through it, and this sounds awful, but I'm just going to say it because I get a kick out of this. People say, do you know where your book is a lot of times? It's in the bathroom, because I'm flipping through and there's all these stories and things, and that's fine. It's a cookbook, but you put it where you think it's going to be read.
So. That's right. They're short stories, and it's great to read. They're
that's
articles.
Right, exactly.
And that's fantastic.
We're in no judge zone here. This is a safe place, right?
No, this is Art on the Air is always a safe place and everything. But we're talking about Back to the Farm. You know, it's a fourth volume. It's a great book here. We got it sitting here on the counter there.
Where's your copy? At home.
My copy. And I wish, you know, all my other copies are signed by the folks that contributed, like Phyllis and Jim Nabors. And then Betsy Palmer did the last one of our actress claim to fame. But
did you meet her when we had her at the center?
Did she come to the Performing Arts Center?
Yeah.
I know she was at Munster High School for love letters.
Oh, I
met her over there.
You're right.
Right down the road, around the corner, the auditorium.
You know what? I mix up my theater life. Yeah, that's right. I did have her.
Yeah, I did. She was another one that you could pick up the phone and. All those years in New York, she always left her number unlisted. You know, of course, everybody had landlines, and just always a kind and giving person. And she was a very strict vegetarian, so she always gets a kick out of it. And she's got a couple recipes in here, because this book would chronicle, of course, when she passed away, when Phyllis Diller passed away. Those columns are in there, so wonderful memories and things that you're not going to find any other place. When I teach my classes at Valpe University and at the Purdue campuses here up in Northwest Indiana, I always say, not everything is online. Everybody of a young generation thinks, well, it's all just online. No, there are things you have to look up in a book.
Right.
You can't find any place else, and boy, this book is loaded with those tidbits. Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic. Yeah,
it's presented in a very nostalgic way too, which is very comforting and sweet.
Yeah, well, and you grew up on a farm. That's kind of the.
It's right there. The cover picture. You can see that. Yeah, the aerial shot was just shot over the summer, and that's the family farm. And the claim to fame being peppermint and spearmint, which this is just about 30 minutes south of Valparaiso, and we have an annual mint festival in North Judson where we crown a peppermint queen, and there's a cooking with mint contest. And your little fact, since we know the holidays are just around the corner, one drop of that raw peppermint oil, so not the watered-down extract stuff in the baking aisle at your store, but one drop of raw peppermint oil off the tip of a toothpick will flavor 100 candy canes. So that tells you how strong that precious oil is when it's harvested.
Yeah, now when you do that, I know they have what they call horse mint, which is a wild like peppermint thing, but it's not as strong.
Because again, over the years, I'm like a pure hybrid that has been developed and agriculturally perfected. Something in the wild isn't going to have quite the same, you know, oomph to it as the raw peppermint oil. But at harvest time in the summer, boy, does it smell wonderful when they're mowing that mint and taking it to the mint still and then boiled in the big vats of water. And then, of course, oil rises to the top and it's siphoned off into 400-gallon in drums, and it's sold by the pound because it's oil, and goes off to the raw manufacturer like Lehman Brothers, who then sell it to Palmolive and Colgate and Wrigley Brothers. And you know, mint oil is used in everything from our cleaning products to medicines to perfumes. It's everywhere. Yes.
Oh my gosh. We are listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, Phil Potemkin. By the way, what's the difference? Yeah, I might know it as smell, but what's the difference between peppermint and spearmint?
Peppermint oil is the one that is much more lucrative because it is used in far more of these cleaning products or these other industrial uses as we were just describing. Spearmint oil is primarily just used in gums, candy, and confections, so it has a little bit of a lighter, you know, aspect to it and not quite as strong as what the effect is of the raw peppermint oil. Let me tell you, you don't want to spill that or get it on your hands because you will smell like a candy cane for a very long time.
Such a deal. So, well, again, you can get Back from the Farm, Volume 4, on Amazon, and maybe soon at the Nest, whole wide variety thing.
That would be so wonderful. I would love for you to do a presentation.
Wouldn't
there.
That be wonderful to come up and do a little talk
she
like
does
this?
Things like
I
that.
Would love that.
You could actually do a cooking demonstration.
I've been thinking about it since the last time you were here because it was such a delightful show.
And then the nice thing, of course, then I get the word out in my column and then send people to come. And who have not, again, experienced the Nest, then you get some new faces and new friends that come in as well.
Most definitely.
Thank you. Wonderful invitation.
I think that'd be a great thing, even a little cooking demonstration.
I know, exactly.
So we can do something like that.
And so you still do your own cooking for yourself?
Yeah, it's awfully difficult sometimes with the busy schedule that I do. And
schedule? I work there, but I wasn't that busy.
Right, no, of course. No problem. The teaching, the other things. But I tell you, our whole world is upside down. Do you remember? You both are old enough to remember that. It used to be that basically cooking was the norm. You just cooked all the time, every day.
Right.
And then maybe for a holiday as a treat, mom and everybody, you might go out to eat for a Mother's Day. Now it's all just in reverse. We all go out to eat, dine out, carry out all the time. And then maybe for a special occasion like Thanksgiving or holidays, then we cook. That's about the few times when we actually do cooking. I cook more than that because, of course, these recipes have to be tried and true and tested. And sometimes I say that's a hazard of the job. Wearing that apron on stage, it only hides so much as you get older. But, you know, a lot of the recipes and things have already been tried and tested because, again, I told you they are the favorites that are taken to potlucks and family reunions and gatherings. So with the exception of some fine-tuning, which is a number one question that comes up about any of these heirloom recipes or anybody's recipe, they might say, oh, I want the recipe for the old Goldblatt's department store cheesecake they used to sell in Hammond, Goldblatt's being the department store featured in A Christmas Story when little Ralphie goes to see Santa, remember, and he wants the BB gun. It's long gone, but the clock still is in the Hammond Library. Well, we have the recipe for it, and it's included, and people will say, oh, it's not quite what I remember that they would sell in that glass counter. Well, we have to remember, okay, that was in, what, the 30s, 40s, 50s, and flour is different. It's been so changed and enriched than what flour was available back then. Our butter, everything is different. And then sometimes, you know, recipes, not in that case, because it was probably an industrial kitchen, but like with our mom and aunt and grandma's recipes, they might have said a handful of this, a pinch of that.
Right.
Well, grandma's hand is not the same size as our hand. And the fact of the matter that there's just something about grandma or mom cutting that piece of cake and handing it to you.
Right.
It'll never taste as good as our memories recollect, because a part of that was the experience.
I remember going as a kid downtown and eating I call them loose hamburgers. I guess they're called made rights, which are, they're actually not in a patty. And I know you can still get that at that one restaurant in Munster.
Which one?
It's a hot dog place right on...
Arnie's,
yes.
Arnie's right along Cuyahoga.
Yeah, they make made right. They don't call them that.
It's like a loose meat sandwich.
It's a loose meat hamburger.
But not Sloppy Joe.
No, it's not a Sloppy Joe.
Joe would have more of a tomato-y kind. This is more just a crumbled meat.
Exactly. Wow. And I guess those were officially called made rights. But,
well, and I have to ask both of you this question, too. I know we're down memory lane, but that's all what this book is like. I remember when I first started at the Times, or the Hammond Times, way back in 95 or so, right around that time, along 45th Street, by Highland and Munster, there wasn't. Do you remember Arthur Treacher Fish and Chips?
Yes. Oh, yes.
There was an Arthur Treacher's there. It was kind of like a Long John Silver kind of concept.
Right.
But Arthur Treacher was a famous British actor, and he had his own franchise. And do you remember those as well?
Remember.
Yeah.
Them, yes.
And there was another one in Calumet City. I remember
there was
that.
One in Cal City, too.
Yeah. It was fun to see that. So,
So
again, back from the farm, you can get that book, and you can still get the other volumes. They're still out there.
Well, you know, a lot of times they're maybe in a second market. So if you go on Amazon, you might see them there, and they're being as a resale type of thing. Because, you know, really, I said in the marketing and promotion of these books, it really should say limited edition, because only 2,000 copies are printed up of each of these books, which is not really that many copies if you think of it. So. Once they're gone, they're always gone, and then maybe a resale market. And you're right. You say, well, maybe a reprinting, but no, none of the books have ever been reprinted, because it's always on to what the next volume is as well. So unless the exception of they wind up someplace where people can get them in a secondhand shop, but other than that, you know, it's really kind of get it while you can, because it'll disappear quickly.
So you see that, folks. Get them while you can.
So like I noticed in there as I opened it up that there's a Lowry's recipe. So
yes, Lowry's prime rib. Or you think of the little round Lowry's seasoning salt as well. Mm. We still have the Lowry's prime rib in downtown Chicago. And they were kind enough to provide a couple of the recipes, including, it may sound so simple to you, but that creamy horseradish that you put when you have your prime rib on the side.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to be the same unless you get that right consistency. And they were able to share what's also in there that has been rescued, and it took a long time. A reader asked about Phil Schmitz, their recipe their fried frog legs. And then somebody else wanted the tartar sauce that came from Phil Schmitz, because he said it was a little bit different. It had a bit of green hint to it, which I found out was from ground up parsley that would give it its green tint that we found. And how did we find it? Well, eventually you put something in a column and the newspaper readers help you out, and they say, all right, my mom was a cook there. She worked in the kitchen for
that's
years.
So fabulous.
She kept it, and here it is, happy to share type of a thing. So, for a while, the folks that had Phil Schmitz and sold it out and had hoped to maybe reopen it, and it just didn't come to be. But even our Strongbow Inn here in Valparaiso, there's a couple Strongbow recipes in there for their wonderful turkey schnitzel. That was so good, that pounded turkey breast. Quick deep fry batter on it. That's included in there as well. And even though Strongbow's is gone, at least we know the memory of those dining rooms and all the events that were held over the years will live on.
Right. And there have been a lot of articles with their recipes in it too, luckily, before they
I also think this cookbook helps remedy, and both of you might be the same as myself or my mom or dad. How many people have one of these drawers in the kitchen that has all these clipped out recipes in no order? You kind of dig and you find them out, or they're all shoved into a box. This compiles everything, and there's a wonderful index in the back for not only the recipes, but the people index. So think of your old-fashioned yearbook. If you want to go through there and say, wait a minute, why is Jimmy Stewart in this book? Oh, there's a part about A Wonderful Life and the fact that Beulah Bondi, the actress from Valparaiso who played his mother, graduated from Valp University. And look, there's a recipe mentioned in there for her raspberry tart cookies. So, again, a lot of fun, famous history in there.
You know, I don't know if you've explored it yet, but air fryer? You have an air fryer yet?
Mm-mm.
I tell you, you and I need to talk in more details. I have an air. It's life changing. In fact, I bought a second one, bigger one. You can do. First of all, you can do prepared food in it. You know, very easily. You can reheat pizza too. Great, but it's great for like chicken breasts, pork chops, hamburgers. I've even done steak in them.
It's some kind of a dry heat, so you're getting that sogginess out of the whole equation.
And you don't have to use oil. Or if you want very light oil, the newest thing I discovered was grilled cheese, because you know, I get the pan out.
Yeah.
Now I just slap the bread together. I give a quick spray of oil, toss it in there, comes out. I do 5 minutes, 4 minutes one side, maybe 4 minutes the other side. It's a life changer. And it's fast, and yet it comes out grilled or things like, well, like it's, I like popcorn shrimp, like, you know, the prepared shrimp. Well, you know, heat up the oven to 425, put it on a sheet. You have to wait till the heat up. Open this thing up, toss them in there, 7 minutes, they're done.
Not having to worry about flipping and turning and mixing around.
What I sometimes do midway, I just kind of do it and give, shake, the, give the basket a shake. So I've even done ribs in it. So
remember how about 15 or 20 years ago, a big thing was these, was it convection ovens?
Right.
And that was going to change everything, and they were real super fast, and this hot air is going to swirl around. But I don't even know if they're a thing anymore if you hear about
I think the air fryer is kind of like that. But supposedly you can bake in it. They have little baking pans, and I've never done that yet. But
and are they something at least we can touch price-wise, or no, they're crazy expensive?
Oh, no. You
can, no, they're very affordable.
Like, very
Costco,
affordable.
Yeah,
oh,
has
wow.
them.
$50, $60 for four quart, or not quite a four quart. And then I got a 7 quart now for bigger. So now I can simultaneously do things. So.
Well, even like in college, don't even remember how, I know microwave changed everything because it was quick, but there was still something to be said about the old-fashioned toaster oven for putting a pizza or something in, because you're right, you don't want it to get soggy in microwave either. It wasn't always an even cooking time, or maybe it would be hot on the outside but cold in the center, or vice versa. So, hey, this is one for me to put on the Santa wish list, right?
Yeah, it's right. They're
my
great.
Homework.
So, well, anyway, we're talking about Back from the Farm and this great book, but you know what? We're going to move on to something else. Phil wears another hat. He's the marketing director for Theater at the Center. I've had a loose association with that. No,
a little bit.
Yeah, from 92 to 98 in the...
than that. You know where all the bodies are buried.
Well, I do.
Off air, we always have a good conversation.
I came,
he buried some of them.
How I got hired there, I was the auditorium theater director at Highland, and they were doing a series called On Stage at the Center, which was like a little acts they brought in, and they brought me in to do the technical work. But the first body buried is when before they opened, the then Northwest Indiana Theater Alliance was there, and they were going to do Sweeney Todd. Mm-hmm. And the center was literally opening, and I went there to do as lighting designer for the show. The lights had not been unpacked. They had not been lamped. They hadn't been plugged. So I talked to the guy who was supposed to be their tech guy and said, well, I'm going to come here to hang. Anyway, I show up that day, and it's like none of the things are unpacked. And I'm like, and he says, well, I have to charge your group if I do that. I went, no, this is your equipment.
Right.
So I had my crew spent hours unpacking and lamping and hanging.
Doing their install?
Install. Oh, and and then I remember like we got to one of the nights, and I was also in production at Highland for another production. Long story short, I got there. He had moved dimmers around. So when you brought up channel so-and-so, wrong light. We managed to get it looking somewhat right, but I was so frustrated. But then eventually I went and did a lot of freelance work for him, like with the Chieftains.
Yes,
and the
yes.
Chieftains.
I still see those posters of all the headliners that came through, the Dixie Chicks, Chieftains.
The original Dixie Chicks.
Yes, the real.
Yeah,
the
before real they had Natalie Maines. And they were kind of shy little women back then. It was a kind of
real,
a whole different.
A different concept, because, boy, they became kind of the poster for outspokenness while in their career. And then also, we talked about Maxine Andrews and the Andrews sisters being there. And
you know, she fell on the stage.
I was there. Everybody, I think, took a skip
she
to
was,
heartbeat.
She was using a wired mic, and she kind of getting moved, and she got to the end of the cord length of the mic and went right down on stage.
But popped right up.
Popped right back.
Had her daughter or somebody was helping there. They had their little army hats on, and just a real the show goes on trooper. And afterwards, I know she was okay because she met us in that lower atrium.
Right.
She signed albums and just. Yeah, she's featured in one of those cookbooks. She's just, real cool. You brought in so many headliners.
Well, and you know, in the first series of photos on the wall are mine.
Up in the Wall of Fame around that atrium, right. That curve.
Yeah.
Well, we should point out Theater at the Center, and thank you for mentioning it. Theater at the Center, we're so fortunate because it is the only Northwest Indiana professional theater group.
Right.
So its equity has to follow all those equity guidelines. You're seeing the same talent you're going to see in Broadway tours. Mm-hmm. And somebody like Jesse Mueller, who started on the stage doing the show Baby years ago, is now Carol King, and a Tony Award-winning actress that you see. And a couple weeks ago, my mom was flipping around on the Lifetime Channel movie, and she said, I want to watch this new world premiere movie they have about Loretta Lynn and Patsy Cline. Who's playing the part of Loretta Lynn? Jesse Mueller. Yeah. So greatness starts there. And at that time, so was it non-equity for that first stretch?
When I first got there in 92, we were really what I call semi-pro, and we were basically hiring college students. Mm-hmm. And we were paying them, but it was that.
Sure.
And then when Gary Giacomo came on board, we slowly started, and even the first year, we brought actors on more from the past, and they were probably equity, but somewhat retired. But then we started becoming what's called a guest contract, where we hired one equity actor and an equity stage manager, the very bare minimum, and did that for quite a few years, and had hired a lot of pro, but like hadn't got their equity card yet, or were equity eligible, which means
so
they
real
like,
close, almost there.
And then we moved to a category two house, where again you could just you could have a lot of non-X that were working, and so we probably when I left in '98, we were still doing category two contracts with equity.
And it was always you as a young reporter at the Hammond Times. It was always you and Mary Lou, my two go-tos, and this
There's
roster of stars that they would have was everybody from Nanette Fabre to Karen Valentine. You had in Lee Merriweather was there.
Lee Merriweather was in her show that she was in.
Barefoot in the Park.
And that was like on our last performance where I was actually moving to the Munster. Mm-hmm. She had like a little a Miss America party downstairs, you know, right after the show. But anyway, it was kind of like also, and this is a go away party for you too. And
that's so nice.
You know, so nice. And of course, the story I love to talk about is Nanette Fabre. All of our board members, they were having her over to show her off to her friends.
Yeah.
And she goes by Nan. I said, you know, Nan, we want you to come over for just a quiet family dinner.
Yeah.
I said, so we just had her over, and she told us some great stories when she was doing Elizabeth in Essex, the movie, and she was only, I think, 19 years old.
Is that with Betty Davis as the queen?
Yes. Oh, such a good
And so anyway, and she had to sing in it. Anyway, she had braces on, which at that time were very expensive, and Michael Curtiz, the director, and she told us, I said, you cannot have those things on your mouth. You must. And so someone in the studio had to remove her braces.
Ouch. You can imagine that. And say, wait a minute, I'm just trying to get my teeth straight.
Right.
Well, and then I say little Margaret O'Brien, the former child star in Arsenic of Lace.
Right.
She was there as well. And there was one, I've told you this before, there's records of it in the newspaper. When first announced, it was supposed to be Gloria DeHaven in that Barefoot in the Park, and then was replaced by Lee Merriweather later on because her schedule or something didn't fit. But what a great roster of, and I don't know if you can even do that as much anymore. I see that's the type of thing that Drury Lane would do as well, and bring in headliners, but it's just so cost prohibitive, I think, because nowadays everybody has all these riders where they want to be flown first class. They have to stay not at the local Hampton Inn, but at the Four Seasons or the Ritz-Carlton, where I'm sure these folks were a little more lower maintenance, and they were
very much small.
That's the kind. I actually, you know, we did steal Magnolias, which was the one that Karen Valentine did, and I thought, wouldn't that be fun? Exactly, as 20 years later, because we did that, you know, a year ago, have her come back and reprise one of the roles. She was Malin, the Sally Field character, but I talked to her agent, and she lives in Connecticut now, and he said, you know, she just doesn't do a lot of that anymore.
Sure.
And it is hard to memorize. I my hat off. I know I work as a columnist and a critic, but my hat off to anybody who steps on stage in the spotlight and has those lines down, because I sometimes have nightmares about being in a show and not knowing my lines, and that doesn't make any sense because I don't even do any shows where I'd be memorizing a script. But it's much like those dreams of college. You didn't study for your exam, and it's exam day, which I also was never that person, but it's a psychological thing, I think. Freudian.
You're listening to Art in the Air, Phil Potempa on 103.1 FM, and we're talking about theater at the center and things like that. So we need to talk about what's coming up.
We have just a little bit.
And one is the adaptation from the motion picture White Christmas.
Yes. Beautiful poster here that I'm bringing to the show, everybody. It's got a fantastic, fantastic lifespan that is a good long run for 6 weeks. It's going to go November the 14th is the first performance all the way until December the 22nd. This is one I know I said this about the book, and I say it even more about these tickets. If you don't get your ticket right away, you'll miss out because Theater Center is a pretty intimate house, 410 seats. There's not a bad seat in the house.
It used to be 450 when I was there, but then they took out some
seats.
They've
taken out, and you need to have more, I think, for handicap accessibility to have wheelchairs.
And the second entrance, which is something we always argued for.
Long rows, remember?
Oh, and then people, well, I remember when I first came there, and they weren't always starting on time, and I set an on-time start time.
Yes.
You know, if it's 8 o'clock, we're starting, unless there was some problem on our fault.
Sure.
And so people would come, and they go, do you know who I am? And I go, no, I know who I am, and you're not getting the door until... And that was before you had the double door, too. So when you went in, and so people then, very short order, learn if they show up, like, okay, we know, you'll put us in a break.
You couldn't get them in because it had such long rows. You'd have to, and there is nice wide aisles to those rows, but you couldn't interrupt an entire performance and have them go all. Now there is that second entrance, so you can be a little more discreet, but White Christmas, it will snow on stage. How could you do White Christmas without that?
Of course.
We think of the wonderful film and adaptation that you mentioned of Irving Berlin's song White Christmas that had Danny Kaye and Vera Allen and Rosemary Clooney and Bing Crosby. All those favorite songs brought to life, and that in Vermont, where maybe is it going to snow? Is it not going to snow? And of course, we know for the finale with those gorgeous red dresses, we have to have the holiday spirit. And tickets again at 219-836-3255 is the box office, or go online at www.theaterwiththeatthecenter.com and get your tickets right away. Or even better yet, I know I gave you the new brochure. We're going to talk about the new season as well. Be a season subscriber, and for $160, you get the entire season of all five shows,
right,
as opposed to a single ticket price, which is $46, which is still not bad considering how much you pay when you go for, again, professional theater in downtown Chicago and do
and
the drive.
And parking. Well, right. Oh, yes.
Parking
and
if can really, be $48
if everybody
sometimes.
Had like an afternoon to see what happens behind the scenes,
yes,
like what's involved in the set making and the costume making. And
so much more of
it's like such a bargain.
It is. It is. It's so much more that's right there. And we're so lucky to have the Center for Visual and Performing Arts right there at 1040 Ridge Road. A couple other holiday have-tos you might want to just keep in mind as well. I can't believe we're saying this before Thanksgiving, but if you don't have New Year's plans, it's time to make them. Our big New Year's Eve celebration is Motown and More. So it's a Motown tribute. That's going to be Tuesday, because New Year's Eve is on a Tuesday, this December 31st. Two performances, so you can come at 6 o'clock if you want to do that early bird, have it out of the way, be home, and watch the other ball drop on the East Coast by 10 o'clock. And then you could do the 10 o'clock performance if that's a better fit for you. And then from the stage, the headliners will help you ring in the new year. And there's two dinner seatings. We have an elegant, beautiful dining room with Chef Joe Trauma and Trauma Catering.
Love Joe.
4:30 seating, or you can do an 8:30 seating and have a wonderful, lavish dinner. Stroll across, take your libation in. And Joe Trauma, Chef Joe Trauma, he was there at the very get-go.
He was the very beginning, even though it wasn't his catering, but he's been the executive chef there for years. And he is a great guy. He teaches that also. And
Ivy Tech, many years.
Anytime I visit there, I always pop back say hi to all the guys back there and say, oh, yeah, what are you doing here?
It says 1989. That's, and I should mention, the new season is going to be our 30th anniversary season. So that's where all those main stage shows. Just two other quick things to put on your calendar. That's that time of year at the end of the year when you have guests and a lot of people are taking time off from work. So it's a busy weekend, that New Year's weekend. Right before New Year's on Saturday, December the 28th, it's the Four Seasons. They do the tribute to Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, but they're doing their holiday show. So you'll get some Frankie Valli, but also some holiday hits. That's a nice afternoon performance at 3 p.m. on that Saturday, December the 28th. The very next day, on Sunday, December the 29th, our comedy nights at the Center for Visual and Performing Arts are very popular. Headlining comedians, you bring your friends. Again, you can just do the show if you want for $27 or add the dinner to it for a full price, a $45 package deal. You've got a dinner buffet right there in the elegant dining room underneath the chandeliers. Dress comfortably, casually. Take your beer, your wine, your champagne, stroll into the theater, and life is too short not to enjoy some laughs. We should always caution, though, that our comedy nights, they are for more of an adult. Think of a comedy club like they used to have at Star Plaza had its own comedy club for years as well. So the same type of a concept. It's for a little more older, established patron, but you definitely won't be disappointed.
So in other words, don't bring the young kids.
And it's usually not too bad, but there can be a little bit of saltiness and some blue bit of language in there, just a little bit. So just keep that in mind. And, people will write to me a lot of times just as a columnist, and they'll say, hey, the show that's downtown at Steppenwolf or your show, can I bring my 12-year-old? And, the answer to that is so different based on every family and every person, because only you know your 12-year-old.
Right.
Maybe it's not going to be too over their head. Maybe it's not going to be too, in their face salty, or maybe it's something that you might want to avoid and not take them to just at this time. And then the new year, I promise I'd give you a tease of all the new shows that are coming for the 30th anniversary. So the 30th anniversary includes starting with Chicago premiere of Almost Heaven. That is the music and the life of John Denver, who was at the Star Plaza a number of times and I interviewed. He's gone after that tragic plane accident. This is a timeline of his life, sandwiched in with 27 of all of his popular hits, with a group of about five or six, I think, performers gathered together doing his songs, strolling through the highs and lows of his life. That goes in February through March, so I think March 22nd, so it's a six-week run. That'll be our launch kickoff. After that, Tolly's Folly will star our artistic director, who we have now, Linda Fortunato. She's been there since I've been there the last 4 years, and her real-life husband, Sean Fortunato, for this two-person play that won the Pulitzer Prize. Tolly's Folly is about a young couple that seemed to have missed each other in life, and now they're attempting to rekindle romance later on in their life. Does it happen? Does it not happen? It all unfolds on stage with this run that'll take you through March, April, and then also into the beginning of May for Mother's Day. Then for the summer, it's Ain't Misbehaving, that speakeasy review taking to the 1930s. I'll have a special art exhibit, Compliments of South Shore Arts, in the atrium that has my own personal pieces, 25 pieces of retro, what's called Raisin Rack. They're huge wooden crates that at the turn of the century you used to dry grapes in California to make raisins, and the farmers and agriculture folks out in California had transferred to a paper process, so these giant wooden racks were then used for advertisements. So throughout that rotunda atrium at the Performing Arts Center will be a free exhibit with all of these Raisin Rack displayed with such retro advertisements such as Kellogg's, Post Toasties, Ghirardelli chocolates. There's also cream of wheat. Remember the cream of wheat and the baker? And there's a number of different beer advertisements. So these vintage advertisements are pasted right onto these Raisin Rack, huge wooden installments that'll be a part of the run for Ain't Misbehaving that'll be in the theater that give you all the music of Fats Waller. And then I can't believe we're talking about fall, a year from now, where we will have Hello, Dolly.
Yes.
Wonderful, wonderful, with the wonderful E. Faye Butler starring as that irrepressible Dolly Levi, the matchmaker. That gets us to fall. And then at Christmas time, we have White Christmas this year. And then next year, we have Elf the Musical, just like the famous film where we have Buddy the Elf eating that heaped up plate full of spaghetti with maple syrup all over it. So
exactly. And also, if you go, if you don't look for the link for them, we have the link on our arts events page.
Wonderful.
So and the box office number. So if you go to our page, Art in the Air, and go to the events page, you look at Theater at the Center. You
can, so easy to use.
You know, we try to make it easy. Yeah, we're trying to up our game here at Art the Air.
And you know, and I'm sure that the wonderful publicity team, Pat and Carolyn, keep you up on this, but you really should come out for the big opening night of White Christmas. And of course, everybody's invited. There are tickets for sale for as well. And there's a wonderful cast party afterwards in the dining room. So November the 17th is an extra special Sunday night because that's the press opening. And afterwards, we stroll into the dining room and again, kind of enjoy the fellowship and the fun and the food wonderfully catered from Chef Joe Trauma. So let me know that if you folks can bring a guest.
I used to get the press comp things and everything.
Oh, well, you're back on the list. We want you
there.
So please come and join us on that red carpet for the opening of White Christmas, as well as all of your listeners.
Any final thoughts here in the last about minute here?
Just again, plan your time early and get your tickets. And most of all, don't ever miss out on any artistic opportunity, be it at our space or any space, because it's something that's a memory that you come with as a takeaway that you can never, ever, ever replicate.
So true.
That's so true. That's what a great show we had, Phil. This was so wonderful. Boy, two cop topics. And of course,
I look so forward to
and
it.
And he wasn't a stranger
so
here either. You know, he's been on our show before, and we really appreciate you coming all the way out to Valparaiso here and everything from Theater at the Center and also with your book. The book is Back from the Farm, Volume 4, 575 pages available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and maybe soon at The Nest in Michigan City.
Oh, most definitely.
There you go. You've been listening to Art in the Air, and we'd like to thank our guests today. We are heard every Friday at 11 a.m. and rebroadcast Monday at 5 p.m. And now we are covered at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. Your hosts here are Larry Breckner and Esther Golden. I'd like to always thank Greg Kovach for making it sure that we get
so
on the
wonderful.
Air.
Thank you, Greg.
Thanks, Greg. You can also hear us on WIUN Red Hawk Radio. Again, Brouwer Museum is our underwriter, along with Walt Breitner of Paragon Investments, who just one-upped on us. We're supported by the Indiana Arts Commission Project Grant and the National Endowments for the Arts. Again, if you're interested in being on the show, contact us at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. That's artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. Next week, we will have Don Parker from the Southside Orchestra talking about their upcoming season. So we'll hear them doing the different things there. So you can hear that right here on 103.1 FM, Art on the Air. So see you next week.
Aloha. Have a fabulous week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry, Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther, Art on the Air our way. Express yourself through art.
art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart.